I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on baseball writer for The Athletic, Keith Law. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I believe you're one of the first folks that have, I don't want to say sounded the alarm, but pointed to some early trends in Travis Bezzano's career. How much is his start compared to what we're seeing on the kid from KC, the kid out of Cincinnati, the kid down in Oakland? How much of this is something we should be concerned about with Bezzano?
You should be. There were concerns about the shape of his swing, even in college. And I think that's only increased as we've seen him in pro ball. We've started to see some more swing and miss that pitchers have, particularly ways to attack him. For folks who haven't seen him, it is an extremely steep uphill swing. Generally, we crush guys who swing like that, but he hit so well in college. We do have to be aware there are outliers. Dustin Pedroia is a good example of a guy I was wrong about because I said that swing is never going to work, but he made it work. Was Bezzano a guy who was going to make it work with his unusual swing? I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying now we're starting to see some evidence that maybe he is going to have to make a change because pitchers are exploiting him. And now he's hurt. Now he's going to lose 100, 150 plate appearances to try to make some of those adjustments, which at the very least slows down his timetable.
So what type of drop-off are we talking about here? If he's now the 25th best, that still has a chance to be a very good, very good major league player, all things considered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not jumping ship. I didn't sort of take him off. So I had a top 50 prospects update last week. I did not make a lot of significant changes. A few guys fell off because they're hurt or they've been particularly bad. Hagen Smith was picked 5th last year. He's walking almost 20% of the batters he's facing so far in AA. Like, that's extremely alarming. Whereas with Bezzano, more, okay, maybe he's not as good as we thought he was. Maybe he's just a good everyday player. I mean, the second question is, coming out of college, and I'm really talking scouts, but it's front office people too, is he'll stay at second base. He's not going to be in the great shakes there, but he'll stay at second base. There's been a consistent rumor now since March that the Guardians are considering moving him to left field. Folks think he's going to have to play to left field. He's just not going to even be rangy enough to stick at second. So your worst case scenario, and I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, the worst case scenario is he has to move to left field and he's not as good of a hitter as we thought he was. That's a problem. That is where all of this goes wrong. And you could start saying, okay, maybe they took the wrong guy there. We don't understand if there's hindsight involved in that. But if he stays at second base and isn't quite as good of a hitter, that's still a solid everyday player. If he goes to left field, but he turns back into the hitter he was at Oregon State, that's still a really good player. So there are lots of ways this could still end up working out for Cleveland.
Keith Law on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The lineup in Cleveland, the big numbers don't look great, but if you watch them every day, there's a lot of guys that kind of are getting going here, and so it really looks like right field and maybe the two-hole are the biggest issues with the lineup. You look at AAA, we're talking Chase DeLauder, we're talking Kafis, we're talking Juan Brito. Of those three guys, who might be in the best position to really help jumpstart the Guardians' offense if they're healthy and ready to be called up?
you know, DeLauder, the whole issue is he healthy? I mean, we may have even talked before. I've talked a lot about I have issues with his swing, too. And Cleveland obviously doesn't care a lot about swing mechanics when they're drafting players. But DeLauder's had success pretty much up through AAA whenever he's been healthy. He's just never healthy. So if he's completely healthy and has had enough of a runway in AAA this year, he's the guy I would be most inclined to call up. Kathis, I think he can hit. I'm a little surprised at the amount of power he's shown so far this year. I have never seen him anywhere but first base, and I'd be a little shocked if he could handle right field. I have some hesitation there. Whereas Brito, probably, I mean, he might be an everyday player at an infield position. More likely, if you're calling him up, it's some kind of utility super sub role where you're moving him around, but not enough bat to really be a solution in right field, recognizing they're not getting anything from right field as it is.
What happens in those type of situations where, like, Ron Brito always got comped as, like, what he looked very similar to J-Ram, Jose Ramirez. And then when J-Ram actually got to the big leagues, it was a completely different story. But up until that point, yep, he was just kind of perceived to be just kind of basically what Ron Brito is perceived to be right now. And, like, how does that happen where someone goes from there to there?
I can say specifically with Ramirez, I had him as a pretty good prospect. But of course, he should have been a top 10 prospect in baseball, right? I was way, way light on him. But nobody ever thought he was going to develop the kind of power he has. And I mean, you just look at him, right? No offense, but I'm pretty short, so I can make fun of how these guys look. Like, he doesn't look like a power hitter at all. Whereas with Brito, he has shown some of that power in AAA, but I think some of the power comes at a cost of the thing he does well, which is the ability to hit and ability to get on base. I think his challenge is going to be doing all of that at the same time in the big leagues. But I think kind of whichever way he goes, he's going to be an everyday player somewhere on the dirt if that's where they choose to use him ultimately. I've noticed they've moved him around a ton since he's gotten to AAA, where I think it's sort of, we don't know where we're going to need this guy, so let's try him everywhere so that wherever we have to call him up, we can plug him in. Actually, as I look at it, he hasn't played right field this year, I guess. We played 19 games there last year. That's not nothing. I don't know if there's really enough bat for that, but you know, at least if he's got experience there, and if they decide he's looked good enough, it's not going to be hard for him to out-hit Nolan Jones and take the right field job.
Keith, another outlet here, Bleach Report Walkoff, proposed this trade. And we don't do tradio often with the Guardians because you just never really know what they'll actually do and what they won't do, what they can afford, what they're willing to give up. But the proposal is the Guardians getting Jaron Duren of Boston and then sending Cade Smith, Jason Chourio, and Ralphie Velasquez to Boston. I'll ask you, in this scenario, who do you think is more likely to say no, Cleveland or Boston?
Oh, the Red Sox, they laugh at that. That's not even, yeah, that is a fan came up with that, right? That is not happening at all. Yeah, I mean, relievers, Cade Smith, obviously he was a great reliever last year, but relievers don't have a ton of trade value. And Ralphie Velasquez might not be any good. The reports I've gotten, he's not hitting this year. The reports I got on him just from scouts who've seen him this year. I saw him in spring training. He looked kind of the same, but he's looked really bad this year. And I like Chourio. I do. I think Chourio is a great prospect. He's on the top 100. That's not getting you. Jaron Duren's top 10 player in the league when he's fully healthy. I don't see any way that deal happens.
What do you make of this Guardians team as a whole right now? As we're trying to figure out, you know, we had the morning show here at David Sampson on earlier today, and he's like, everything the Guardians have done is just a mirage right now. Do you fall in line with that line of thinking, or do you feel like there is something more here?
I might be a little overstating the case. You know, a little bit above 500. They've been outscored on the season. That would typically, but by a little bit, that would typically mean a team slightly below 500. I think you could sort of bridge that gap by saying they just generally got an above average bullpen. It's not elite. They were never going to repeat last year's bullpen, right? That was just never, last year's bullpen was historic. That wasn't coming back. They've got good starting pitching. They've got a pretty good bullpen. They need to address the offense, and they have just generally not done so. They've not gone outside the organization for much offense. They have not had great success developing their own, particularly their own power hitters. I think this is a team, if they do nothing, if they just kind of stay where they are, if they finish the year 82-83 wins, probably end up missing the playoffs. They have an opportunity to try to go upgrade the offense, particularly just like I said, just going to find some power. whether it's internal or probably a little internal, a little external, that might be enough for them to end up back in the playoffs this year, even without the elite bullpen, which we kind of, I thought last year was fluky, but they had an elite bullpen and got a little lucky in some of those close games, and that was more than enough for them to run away with the division.
Tigers, Twins, Guardians, Royals. How do you rank those four teams in the AL Central?
I would have had Cleveland, they are basically dead tied in the standings right now with Minnesota. Minnesota's lost their best starter for 2-3 months. He's got a tear in his Terry's major muscle. You see that Lopez may not pitch again this year. That's entirely possible. So I would say Cleveland's probably second in the division. I mean, Detroit's, they got the best record in baseball. It's hard to tear them down too much. I do look at them and wonder, that's not real, right? They're not a 660 winning percentage team going forward. But they're six games up, and they are probably a 90-plus win team in terms of the rest of the season. And Detroit has a better farm system. They could go out and make a bigger acquisition, and I think they will. I think they're going to seize the opportunity and try to upgrade, which just puts a little more pressure on Cleveland to try to do something to keep pace. Whatever it is, though, Cleveland has to do something to address the offense. I think it's too many years of them not taking that kind of affirmative step to say, we're going to go get a power bat. It's the thing they need the most. It's generally not that hard to find. It's not like they're trying to find an ace starting pitcher, which obviously is very difficult to find in the trade market.
Did you like the aggressiveness by Kansas City in calling up Caglione?
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit consumercellular.com/fax or a store near you. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I did and I didn't. I do prospects, right? That's what I write about. It's what I live. Of course, I like seeing these guys get to the big leagues. He was in AAA for about 20 minutes, I think. And I do have concerns. He has made real adjustments just since last year. I have a ton of history seeing that guy. And just seeing him this year and going through the data from AA, he is better. But you can get this guy to expand the zone. And he didn't even stay in AAA long enough for them to exploit him. And I think that's what's going to happen. He's going to struggle. He's going to hit a ball 118 miles an hour also. But there's going to be some ugly swing and miss. And I hope they just have the patience to stay with him. You're up now. And just tell him, you're up for the summer. We are not sending you back down. Even if you're hitting .140, it's fine. You're a Kansas City Royal. We brought you up to stay. Because I think the worst thing you can do in those situations, when the kid has two bad weeks, like, all right, now you're back down to the minors. And it's in his head. Every 0-for-4, every 3-strikeout night, oh, I'm going back to the minors again.
Keith, great stuff, man. Really do appreciate your time. We hope you're wrong about Bizana, but we do appreciate your time, bud. Thank you so much.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Keith Law there of The Athletic on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sounds like we got some breaking news.
Yeah, Jerry Dulac, of course, covers the Steelers in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers has informed the Steelers he plans to sign a contract and attend minicamp next week.
Look at that.
So Aaron Rodgers has finally made it.
All right, so we will put a pin in talking about what Keith Law was just talking with us, but it's interesting, like, I just have thought the whole, like, the frustrating thing where people were like, you're really going to go into the season with Mason Rudolph as your starting quarterback? I always thought that was dumb. I thought, like, the later we got into this, I think it was just apparent that Aaron didn't want to go to mini camps. And no, he wasn't going to go to mini camps, the voluntary portion, and he didn't want to have people get upset with him about it the way it happened last year with the Jets. So this was Aaron's way of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, covering his butt, while also making sure he didn't have to go to voluntary mini camps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised, though, he at least made it to the mandatory portion. I thought he was going to, at this point, I thought he was going to hold out a little bit longer, but maybe he's recognizing there's a lot of time missed.
Oh, I think it's interesting. Like, thinking back to like Baker getting traded, I want to say on 4th of July weekend 3 years ago, I thought that was the moment he was DOA in a bad situation in Carolina, because that's really, really hard. If you have, I mean, less than half an offseason, if you've got 33% of an offseason, no matter whether you're Aaron Rodgers, Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, like, it's just so hard. The NFL's so competitive. I always thought mandatory minicamps is where maybe he would make sense to sign.
Well, because the deadline that Tomlin had put out wasn't that. And so at this point, if he didn't sign in April, I was like, maybe he'll just wait until that actual deadline that Tomlin was like, well, we got to go with Mason Rudolph. I think what he saw was the chatter around not only Pittsburgh, but some of the Pittsburgh radio stations as well. Again, the 93.7, the fan poll out there said what? It was like, who do you want to start, Mason Rudolph or Aaron Rodgers? The fans voted Mason Rudolph. They got tired of Aaron Rodgers and the prospect of it. They were annoyed by it.
You think that got in his dome?
Maybe. Like, wait a second. They want Mason Rudolph over me? Maybe I need to stop tugging them around and maybe actually show up and try to be a real quarterback.
I can't really refute you just because Aaron clearly cared about the press coverage last year about going to voluntary minicamps.
He cares about this stuff in a way that most people just don't.
The idea that you would be in any way threatened by mustache Mason Rudolph, oh my God, I'd love to see that. So-and-so, I'd love to see the face when he finds out definitively Aaron Rodgers is coming. I'd love to know that.
Did you hear the comments from Big Ben yesterday?
No.
Yesterday, Big Ben went on this whole tirade about like trying to bury the hatchet between him and Mason Rudolph. He went down a whole Joe Flacco thing. He's like, I appreciate what Joe Flacco is doing in his approach. Because I remember like 2018, Big Ben went on this whole rant about how he was very confused as to why they drafted Mason Rudolph. He's like, it makes no sense. We need weapons. Why are you taking a quarterback? I'm the quarterback. You're not helping me out at all. And so there's always this feud between the two of them that existed. And yesterday he's like, no, I'm supporting Mason Rudolph. Like, I want to be in his corner. And I wonder if Rodgers is like, oh man. Even Big Ben is turning on me over here. Like, I need to figure this out before I lose everyone.
All right, I think Big Ben's more opportunistic than that. I think Big Ben probably was like, man, this kid's going to lose it. I'm going to look really good if I do this.
I think Big Ben actually thought that Mason Rudolph was going to be the quarterback.
I do think, by the way, I'm like, okay, Mason Rudolph, soft. Like, does not like criticism, bit of a baby. Ben Roethlisberger, soft. Bit of a baby, doesn't like criticism. Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we've been wrong about, like, for a long time I've thought the Mike Tomlin's quarterback type was big and dumb.
Yeah, which tracks with Mason Rudolph and Big Ben.
But now maybe he just likes, like, emotionally sensitive man babies who are just wildly sensitive in a myriad of ways.
He's always had the googly eyes, the Adam Gase googly eyes for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, this is... It's wild to me that the reception around Pittsburgh, I bet, is a mixed bag at this point, based off of how much Aaron Rodgers has dragged this thing on.
Can I tell you, I might be ready to upset the apple cart and maybe change my expectations for the Steelers.
Really?
Do we want to do that here, or do we want to do it coming back?
No, do it coming back.
Because I think Browns fans, I think there's a lot of you out there laughing right now. I think there's a lot, what a joke, he finally signed. That the Aaron Russell Wilson 2.0. I don't think you're like my prediction. 216-474-0092. Aaron Rodgers has informed the Steelers he's actually going to come to work now and be a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just curious, like, what do you guys think this means for the Browns? What do you think this means for the AFC North? I'll tell you about that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. No, we're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless probably has you paying for more data than you might need. You could be throwing away thousands over a lifetime. We're not here to be the biggest. We're here to bring you something we believe is better. Our plans start at just $20. You'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.